Welcome to episode 21 of Conversations with Danny Weddle. My guest is former Maysville Bulldog, Daryl Hill. Daryl, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Well, you're very welcome. I really appreciate you calling and asking me to do this.
You were on my list of people I wanted on for some time, and I've talked to several of your teammates over the last few months, so I thought now was the time to talk to Daryl Hill.
Well, thank you.
Let's go back. Some early memories of just picking up basketball or maybe watching the Maysville Bulldogs when you were a youngster. Take us back there.
Well, my father bought a basketball goal when we lived in on East 2nd Street and attached it to a garage in the back and put up a goal and so bought me a ball. So at that point, I just went out there and started shooting. I was like 5 or 6 years old. And also at the same time, he would take me to every Maysville Bulldog basketball game. And I would sit there and watch them. And as a result of that, I just got to the point that I really wanted to be one of those guys out there doing that. And that was one of the things that really helped me a lot, I'm sure, was that I wanted to be one of those guys.
Who were some of those players you looked up to as a youngster?
Jerry Calvert was one of them. George Cook was another. And Vince Toll. That goes back to when I was 6 or 7 years old, I guess. And then there were at least two other people that I thought were great, and one of them was Bobby Jones, and Bobby's only there 1 year, but he did a great job while he was there. But the guy that was really kind of motivation for me was Alan Smith, and he was just a remarkable competitor, and he played basketball, and he was the leading scorer his senior year. He also pitched, I think it was 3 or 4 straight games in the state baseball tournament that year, and Maysville won the state high school baseball championship. And you probably already know that by talking to Robert Alexander and Dwayne Ferris.
Right. What about some of your early coaches as a youngster?
Well, actually, the only coach I had from the time I started until I graduated was Woody Crum. And he was he was somebody that I miss him today. Even he was I love that man and his wife. She had the greatest smile that anybody could ever want. But he was hard on us. But his intention was to make us better than we thought we could be. And he did that. He did that. He wanted practices to be harder than a game so that we would be able to handle almost anything in the game when it came up to us.
Were you around Coach Jones much? I guess he was principal at that time, right?
Yes, he had already gone on to be the principal and had and made the school board had hired Woody Crum. I think Woody before that was out at Mays Lick, I think.
Right. Well, let's get into your basketball career. You were a sub on the 1959 10th Region Championship team. Y'all beat Scott County in the finals, and then you went over LaRue County and lost to North Marshall in the state tournament. Take me back to that season.
Well, I didn't play much that year. we had a good team. I think we had 4 or 5 seniors, maybe. Roy Gilbert, Phil Hutchison, Alan Bain, Chuck Hayslip, maybe. So there was a number of those. I guess maybe Chuck had already graduated. He graduated with Alan Smith, I believe. But we had a really good team, and it was a lot of fun for me just to be able to travel with them, actually. And I did get in the game in the state tournament after it was already a loss. I guess you'd call that a cigar position that I inherited that day.
And just practicing against those guys had to make you a better player.
It did, yeah, and it made you. Roy Gilbert was a really strong, aggressive guy, and he could make your life miserable if he wanted to. And yes, he all those guys were. Phil Hutchinson was probably one of the smartest guys that ever played at baseball, and he was a real athlete, and he was a real team player and a great great assist person.
What about traveling to the state tournament and walking in and just I'm sure those memories are still vivid.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's when you in my sophomore year, the game was in the Kentucky Memorial Coliseum, and of course, I think I'd been there before to watch a game of some sort. Maybe it was a Kentucky game with my dad. But that was really exciting to be able to walk in there and have that place almost full of, at that time, I guess it was somewhere around 10,000 people. And that was very exciting. I just loved playing basketball. I still do. I still enjoy going shooting balls, shooting baskets.
And the crowds at the Maysville Gym and Mr. Ferris's band, it was just a great place.
Oh, absolutely. I still sing the school song to myself once in a while. And that's a Maysville High School is a very special place for me when I was growing up, and it still is. And the people that I was teammates with are special to me. I've been able to find Robert Alexander on in Google. I found him in New Jersey, and he and I talk often.
Yeah,
he's a very good man. Always has been, and he always will be. And I just care a lot about Robert. He's a really good human being.
Now we'll take a pause on basketball. Since you mentioned the high school, what about teachers? Memories of walking the halls of Maysville High?
Oh, that's a great question. I was a decent student. I guess I was an average student. My intentions really weren't to be a student. My intentions were to play basketball. And that's really what I did. But there was a lot of camaraderie going on in the hallways between classes and before school and after school. And that was always something that's been special to me. And we, I mean, I have a lot of really good friends in my class that we're still friends. And we get together, try to get together now about every year. We haven't quite gotten that far every year, but we're trying to do that. And it's just wonderful seeing them all because it brings back great memories. My memories of Maysville High School are just wonderful to me. They really, really truly are.
Okay, we'll get back to basketball. You got a lot more time on the 1960 team. Third leading scorer, won the region, beat Ashland in the state tournament. That's always a big deal. And yes. Lost to Louisville Flaget. How about that season?
That was wonderful. We had a really, really good team. We had Chuck Hall, Robert Alexander, Herman Smith, Larry Bob Jacobs, myself, Donnie Tucker, Dwayne Ferris, I think, was on that team as well. And it was a good bunch of kids. It really was. And we got along. We just got along great. We never had a problem. We really didn't. That probably had a lot to do with Woody Crum. But that was a wonderful season. I've forgotten what our record was. You probably have it right in front of you.
Yeah, I've got it here somewhere. How about that state tournament? Like I said, Ashland was a powerhouse to beat them in the first round.
That was really good. Ashland had a pretty good team that year. They had a much better team the following year. They won the state tournament. But When we got to the state tournament, we fully expected to win the district and the region. We really did, and we did that. When we got to the state tournament, we ended up facing Flagey, and we felt like that whoever won that game was going to win the state tournament. And that's exactly what happened. It just didn't happen to be us. Flagey beat us by, I think, 2 points.
59-56.
Thank you. They had some really good players on that team. They had Tommy Finnegan, who went on to Notre Dame and played, Ted Deacon, who ended up being a star at Kentucky. And then they had a young man by the name of Gilbert, and another one by the name of Bobby Dutaz, and I've forgotten the name of the fifth player. But they had a good team. They were bigger than we were, but they weren't any better than we were. We just happened to, we got really far behind in the first quarter, and then we caught up in the second quarter, and we got ourselves together, and we played well. It was a well-played game. It was a clean-played game, and it was really hard to accept that we lost. It really was. Larry Bob Jacobs and I left the hotel that night and walked around downtown Louisville by ourselves and just kind of reminisced about what we'd been through.
So that game was at the Armory?
Yes, that's correct.
You guys were 28-5 that year.
Okay, yeah. It was really a good bunch of people. Bob Alexander, you couldn't find a better man than he is. Herman Smith was a great guy. Larry Bob was my friend from second grade. We went all the way through high school together. Donnie Tucker was a wonderful friend and still is. Some of these things almost bring tears to your eyes when you think about them now.
You talked about you felt like if you all won that game, you would win. If Flagey won, it would win, and you were right, they won. Expectations so high in this community, and I've always felt that at least every 10 years, or about that you have a chance to win the state tournament, and those expectations were so high. Of course, Maysville, 47-48, we know, making it to the finals and being a winner and a runner-up, and then Bobby Jones's team, many thought were the best in the state, and then you guys come along. I mean, and still, I mean, Mason County's ranked this year, two state championships, so the expectations have always been high in this community.
They really have. Mason County's done a great job. They really have.
You were the leading scorer on the 61 runner-up team, but talk about that season a little bit. I've got your stats here. You had 31 against Deming, and then Flagey, you played them again, and you had 30 against them.
Yeah. Probably the best game I ever played was against Ashland that year. I think I hit something like 11 out of 14 field goals. And they were really a good team. That year was, I think we, if you looked at the schedule, you would see that we had probably one of the hardest schedules in the state. We played Mike Silliman, who was the All-American from Xavier and Louisville. We played Ashland up on Ashland's floor. They were the best team in the state without question. We played some other teams that I probably won't be able to come up with the names, but there was a kid by the name of Belcher from over in Eastern Kentucky, and he was on a I can't think of the name of the team.
Was that Inez?
No, it wasn't.
You also played Cove Cath.
Played who?
Covington Catholic.
Yes, we did. Down there. And they had some big guys. Larry Bob and I were the two largest, tallest guys we had on our team. And they had 6'5", 6'6", 6'3". And there was a kid on there by the name of Maley at Covington Catholic who ended up being a very good player at LSU. He went on to be a star down at LSU. But we beat them on their own floor.
And then you played in the very first Maysville-Mason County game.
Yes, we did. That was an unfortunate outcome. Well, we won the first one. I guess we won the game in the, during the season, and then we got beat by 1 or 2 points in the finals of the regional tournament. Rusty Ryan was on that team, and a kid by the name of Jones. Rusty Ryan was a really good guy. He's a good athlete. He was a good baseball player, too, and he and I were actually pretty good friends.
Now we go to the regional tournament, and hate to bring it up, but I know it was a tough game. You lost to Harrison County 57-56.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story about that. Sometime during the game, Keller Works, who was their certainly their best player, and maybe one of the best players they ever had over there, was guarding me, and we were running back down the court. And for some reason, he decided that he wanted to elbow me in the chest. And he did. totally unprovoked. But now I was provoked. So I go on further down the floor, and I looked over to the referees, and both of them, all went to the other side of the floor. Both referees looked in that direction, and I just reached out and slapped him across the nose. And that wasn't like me either, but I did that just as retaliation, you know. So then when the game was coming to a close, Keller Works brought the ball down over the midstripe, and there was 10 seconds left in the game. And he did a discus whirl with the basketball and threw it up in the stands. And the referees didn't stop the game. They didn't call a technical. They didn't do anything. They just let the clock run out. And so as a result of that, we didn't have a chance even to get the ball. So 50 some years later, Larry Bob Jacobs, I was at his house one day, and he said, "Darryl, I have this ball that was our very last game that we played over at Harrison County. Would you like that ball?" I said, "Absolutely." So he gave it to me, and after I got it, I had this brain worm that just would not go away in my head, and it was that I wanted to give that ball to Keller Works because his team won, and they were the ones that deserved to have that ball. A Maysville fan caught the ball up in the stands who lived in our neighborhood up in Deerfield, and he gave that ball to Larry Bob the next day after that game. So that's how the ball got to me. So I wanted to get hold of Keller Works and apologize to him for the part I played in that incident, which we both call a dust-up. And I called a good friend who's Lee Kendall, who's married to one of the girls from Hazel. Her name is Kelly Calvert. And I asked him if he knew how I could get in touch with Keller and told him why. And he said, sure. So he got in touch with Keller and gave me the number, and I called Keller, and we had a nice conversation. I apologized to him for what I did, and he apologized to me for what he did. He said, "Darryl, you didn't start that. I did." And I said, "I know that, but I have a boss one time that told me a fight never starts with the first blow. It's always the second one. So I played a big part in that, and I want to apologize to you for that." He said, "Well, I'd like to apologize to you for the part I played as well." So he was living down in South Carolina. I think he's still down there. So we agreed that we would get together when he got back to Cynthiana in the summertime. So he let me know when he was there, and I went over to Harrison County with the ball, and we met with Lee Kendall and his wife Kelly. Woody Crum's daughter was there because she lives in Harrison County, and Keller showed up and brought his daughter. And it was really, really nice. And, it's nice to be able to heal those wounds over a long time. And Keller and I turned out to be fairly good friends. And that's a wonderful story for me. I just love the way that turned out.
Yeah, that's a great. And Lee Kendall wrote an excellent story in the Cynthiana paper. And there's an outstanding photo of You, Keller, and Connie Whitaker, Woody's daughter. That's a great picture.
Yeah, it was really nice to see her. Nice that she could be there, and I sort of insisted that she try to be there. And she said to me sometime during that meeting that I wish my dad were here. And I said, Connie, I'm sure that he is, and I'm sure that he's very happy with the way this has turned out. She said, yeah, I think you're right. So he was very special to me. He really was.
You mentioned what a great player Keller Works was, and you mentioned several other players that you played against there. How about some other opposing players that really stand out for you? Tough guys to guard?
We played, particularly, we played against Terry Mildley's team, and there was a tall kid there on that team. I'm trying to think of the school where Terry went.
Harrodsburg.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, we played them over there after we had played at Louisville and played Flagey the night before in the following year from the state tournament. And he was hard to play against. He was a very good player, as you know. He ended up being a leader at Kentucky. He's a natural-born leader. And I had dinner with my wife, and I had dinner with him and his wife breakfast a couple of years ago, and that was nice to renew that fellowship.
Harrodsburg had a guy by the name of Eddie Botkin who had 32 points in that game. You remember him?
He was six. Thank you for bringing that up.
I hadn't heard that name.
Yeah, he was a good player. I think he ended up going to Eastern, and he played over there, I believe, with Herman Smith when Herman was there. Yeah, Eddie Botkin was a good player. And Larry Botkin and I were the two biggest kids on our team, and it was just hard to handle him. Him and Mike Silliman. Mike Silliman was 6'5", I think, and he weighed about at least 220. And Larry Bob and I were like 165 or something. So these big guys pushed us around pretty good.
Now, did you score outside, inside, a combination, or what was your game?
Mostly 15-footers, mostly. Jump shots, somewhere between the foul line and the top of the circle, and all around the floor. We didn't have a three-point circle then, and that would have made a difference, but everybody else would have been able to make a difference as well. So.
Now, I'm going to take another break from basketball. I want to mention the 1959 regional championship golf team.
Thank you. Yes. In 1959, we had a really, really good golf team. It was Charlie Traxel, Chuck Kirk, Tommy Brown, and me. And Charlie was a good player. Chuck was a good player. I was playing pretty well, and Tommy was a reasonably good player. And I don't think we lost a match that year. We might have, but we ended up going to Fort Knox in the state tournament, and we were up by, I want to say, 2 strokes when the kid from Trinity High School, who ended up turning pro, I'm having a hard time remembering his name, but we were up by 2 strokes, and he was the only flashy player out on the course. And he went birdie, eagle.
Goodness.
and it actually tied us up. So I was a little bit wrong with those numbers, but we ended up in a tie, and then we played the a sudden death playoff, and we lost by a stroke on the 2-hole sudden death playoff for the state championship title.
Wow. When did you take up golf? And I know your dad was the coach of that team in 59.
Yeah, I took it up when my father took it up. He I was 11, and he had an ulcer, and his doctor told him that he needed to find a way to relax and have some recreation. And so he started playing golf, and I started playing when he did. We had a lot of fun playing golf.
Nine-hole course at the country club. Who were some of the pros back then?
I didn't think I would ever forget this guy's name. Bill Goldsmith was there for a long time. And Bill did really well. I think Bill won the Kentucky Pro Tournament up at Ashland one year, I believe. And Johnny Tennant was there after Bill, and he was there for a while. But the guy's name I can't remember was a really good guy. He was there when I was a teenager. And I just can't remember his name, but he was a good guy. I really liked him.
Now we'll jump back to basketball. I'm going back and forth here. Now let's get you to UK and the Kittens freshman team.
Okay.
What about going to UK and playing on the freshman team?
That was a wonderful experience. I had five scholarship offers, and the major ones were Louisville, Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech. Those were the major ones, I think. And then, of course, Morehead, Eastern, Murray. And I don't think Western ever made an offer. But I, for some reason, I decided I wanted to go to Kentucky. And so I did that, and I walked on, and I made the team. And they had seven scholarship kids. Young men, and they were all very good folks. And not to brag, but the truth is I actually beat two of them out. So I was like the sixth man. I got to start a game, in fact, in that year. And then I got mononucleosis. And I don't know if you've ever had mononucleosis or not, but it'll just absolutely ruin your conditioning, and it will ruin your ability to think properly because it just takes so much out of you. And so I made a decision. Why I did this, I'll never know. Probably one of the worst decisions I've regretted the most is I just didn't go back. So when it came time for that I could have gone back, I decided not to. Harry Lancaster, who was the freshman coach at Kentucky at that point, and he was also the assistant coach to Rupp, called Earl Jones and told him that if I would come back, they would give me a scholarship. And then Mr. Jones told my father, and my father told me, and for some reason, I decided I didn't want to do that. And that was a huge mistake on my part. We had some really good players. Terry Miley was on that team. Don Rolfes from in Southern Ohio was on that team. Sam Harper from Western Kentucky. Danny Radabaugh, John Adams was on that team. A lot of long-term Kentucky names that were really key back in those days.
Yeah, Randy Embry, who went on to coach Owensboro to a state championship.
Yes, Randy and I became good friends, and we did a lot of things together. He is a really, really nice man.
Yeah.
Really nice man.
Yeah, I interviewed him at the state tournament, and I was just thinking what a nice guy he was.
Yeah, he really is. And he has been employed by Pat Riley for I don't know how many years now, but I think he's still working for Pat and doing recruiting or doing scouting.
I didn't realize that.
I think he is.
That freshman team, you guys scored over 100 points in six games, and like you say, that's before the 3-point shot, and that's an amazing 13-5 record.
Yeah, we were called the something express. It was like a hundred point express.
Now, Coach Rupp is in the team picture with you guys. I saw it on the internet the other day. Did you have much interaction with Coach Rupp, or did he just stay with the varsity?
He really didn't interact much with us. He might come out and be critical once in a while, but he let Harry Lancaster handle it. Harry was tough. He was a good coach.
And I saw in that picture there were a couple assistant coaches. I didn't write down their names, but you remember those guys?
I remember them. I don't remember their names. Yeah. And they were good guys, too. Yeah. They really were.
You mentioned you had several scholarship offers. What was recruiting like back then? Of course, now we know they recruit kids, it seems like, in middle school. But what was your recruitment like with some of those schools?
Well, it was really the first contact was via letter or a phone call. And so it wasn't visiting. I did go over to Ohio University, and I did go over there and visit, because they were talking about basketball and golf. But that's the only visit I made, was to Ohio University.
So what about life after basketball?
Well, I went to work out of college for Browning there in Maysville, Emerson Electric Company. And I was started there as a phone answerer for inside sales, and then I went to I had, I don't know, three or four different jobs there. I went to Iowa first and became a territory salesman. I lived in Davenport and traveled to Iowa and a big part of Illinois, and then I was made the Southeastern regional manager. And then a sales manager of a different group. And then I went to an Emerson division up in New York, and I was sales manager up there. And after that, I came back to Cincinnati and worked for a company called X-Tech as a sales manager there. So my whole life after college was selling, and I loved it. I would love to calling customers today. I just don't like the traveling I had to do. I was gone every week, out at least 2-3 nights a week, and that's just hard after overtime. But it turned out to be a really good thing. I loved it. I really did. I love calling on people and making friends and trying to influence them to do what my company wanted them to do.
What about now, other than shooting hoops every now and then?
Well, still play golf. I'm now working out 2 to 3 days a week, lifting weights with legs and arms and stomach and that sort of thing. And I'm trying to get stronger so I can play a little bit better. I'm going to be 80 next July the 11th. And that doesn't seem possible that that date is here, but it is.
Right. Are you still a big sports fan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You bet. That's something that I will always be a competitor. That is something that's either in you or it's not, and it's in me. And I don't think I'll ever get over that. And I really don't want to, actually.
Right. Well, Daryl, we appreciate the time. We love the stories, and we're going to be excited to share them on our podcast. Again, I thank you for your time.
Well, you're welcome.
That's former Maysville Bulldog Daryl Hill. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can get local sports updates by following me on Twitter at Danny E. Weddle and by reading my blog, courtsidewithdannyweddle.blogspot.com.